All right, Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to start this morning. We've been looking at grace for a number of weeks. And we've been saved by grace, right, as Christians. But the Christian walk continues to be lived out by grace, with God's help. We've been referring to habits of grace. And when we say that, we're really encouraging to build habits into our life which cause us to prioritize and to regularly receive from God's grace, which He's already poured out in Jesus Christ, which He continues to pour out in His Word, in the relationship we have with Him in prayer, and the unity that we have in the one body. And so, God being the fountain of living water, I love that picture. I know we've talked about it before, where that constant flow of this living water pouring out of the God that we have come to know. The habits of grace that we're talking about are really to build these things in our life where we're continually coming to that fountain of living water to receive from Him, right? Just to picture it that way, because sometimes where we go with Christianity, where we're trying to become a better Christian or a better person, is you feel like you're working towards it. Well, I got to do this. I got to be in the Word. I got to pray. I've got to try to be a better ... right? Whereas really, we're called to receive these things by grace. We're receiving His Word. We're in prayer with Him. We're receiving His grace that He has to offer in the one body when we come together. You know, and there's such a great joy and a freedom in that. We've considered the foundational need to first listen to His voice, to have an ear for His Word, to meditate in that Word and let that Word be pressed into our heart, right? So that our heart and our mind begins to reflect the heart and the mind of God. We've talked about prayer, letting that Word, as it's being pressed into our heart, cause us to respond to that conversation in prayer and to speak with Him and to have that intimacy with God. We saw that awesome example last week of David's prayer, and just this example of this exalted king, probably one of the greatest kings that's ever lived on the earth, and the humbleness with which he approached God. Because in comparison to God, who was David? Nothing, right? And he knew that everything that David was because of God, who had simply given him a kingdom and given him ultimately the promise that the Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would sit on a throne named after him. Whose doing was that? Right? And David understood that in prayer. And so he was able to be open and honest before God, who's the searcher of all hearts, knows what's going on. David's quite aware of who he is in comparison. Right? What a great example for us in entering prayer and speaking with God and knowing that he knows. And knowing who we are in comparison to who he is. And this morning, I want to spend some time, we're going to look at thankfulness, having a thankful heart, and making it a habit in our life to be people who are giving thanks. So we're going to start reading here in Colossians, and this is chapter 3. This is some low-hanging thankful fruit here. We'll start in verse 15. Look at this. It says here, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. What a rich passage of Scripture. First, I want to draw to our attention in verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And then in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Isn't that cool? It's there for the letting. Does that make sense? But we are to let our hearts, let that word dwell in us richly. Isn't that cool? And then as we let the word of God dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts. And I love this because we've just seen this beautiful pattern that as that word of God is being taken in and is changing our heart, as we begin to see things God's way, and not just from our point of need, but from his great abundance and what he's already done, the response of a heart responding to that is thanksgiving and praise. That's what that is. You see it? And you know what else I love about this verse? Is it's not just me alone. It's all of us together. Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, reminding one another, encouraging, exhorting one another, so that these truths about our Christ, about our Redeemer, about our salvation are living in our heart. Not just as an individual, but as a whole church. And the result of it is that praise and thanksgiving is heard in our midst. Isn't that cool? Not just because we are supposed to give thanks, but because our hearts see clearly God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he's given us. Really exciting. Really, thankfulness is a natural, or maybe I should say supernatural, result of knowing and really seeing God and his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Revelation. We've spent a little time in this section over the last year, I would say. Revelation chapter 4. But I personally find these two chapters really inspiring. And it gives us this rare glimpse into the presence of God. You might say like the physical presence of God. And in Revelation chapter 4, and I'll just pick it up in verse 8. Look at this. It says, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Then we go to verse 11, and the Lamb that was slain arrives on the scene. The one who God put forth as a full payment for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And on verse 11 it says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. It's an incredible view into that throne of God. You know, you sit back and imagine it. Something that stuck with me through the years, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I remember Jeff Duclos saying, do you know why they worship him? He said, it's because they know him. It's because they know him. Because they behold him in all his glory. You know, it's hard to imagine one of these beasts in the presence of God having their mind elsewhere. When they're sitting before the Ancient of Days with the beautiful rainbow across the throne and the 24 elders and the peals of thunder and the voice of many people like water. Can you imagine having your eyes on the things that maybe you don't have when you're standing in that, in the presence of that kind of greatness and glory? Now, it'd be hard to imagine that, right? But knowing him, truthfully, still presents a choice. Okay? And I want to go here to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 18. In the context here, Paul is saying he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In verse 18, it says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has showed it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Isn't that an incredible description of mankind and the fallenness of mankind, the brokenness of mankind? But you see where it started. We looked at Psalm 19, where it talks about heavens declare the glory of God, right? And how the creation itself reveals his handiwork. And it's talking about this here, where the very creation itself, the fact that we exist in this reality is a testimony to the fact that God exists, right? What does it say in Hebrews? It says, those who will come to God must believe that he exists and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that cool? But fallen man, with that knowledge that God exists, has chosen not to be thankful. Not to acknowledge him for who he is, neither be thankful. Isn't that amazing? Unthankfulness. And the result is that mankind worships and serves the created thing instead of the Creator himself. You see the contrast between this and what we just saw in Revelation, where the beasts and the elders and the myriads upon myriads of people there before the throne are overwhelmed with a sense of who God is in his glory. And their hearts are thankful and issue out in praise. Right? It says here in verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him." Do you see how this unthankfulness ultimately leads to a worshiping of the Creator instead of the creation instead of the Creator, which is idolatry, right? And then it goes on in verse 26 and 27, where that idolatry issues in sexual immorality and homosexuality. And then you go on down to verse 29. And look what it says. "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless." Wow, what a list, right? So we got dark quick here, didn't we? It can be helpful to see the end of something, see where something leads, to understand its source, right? And sometimes I might think, well, a little unthankfulness is not like a big deal, right? But the progression we see here is a lack of recognizing who God is, and then unthankfulness, and then from there follows all sorts of things. You see the progression? You see the progression. So what does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 say, if you all remember? It says, "In everything give thanks," right? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Isn't that cool? And I'll tell you, what we don't want to be is a bunch of robots that are just like, well, I just need to say thankful things, right? I sat through a thing at my work recently, and it was fascinating to me. But it was a guy that they had hired during one of our big meetings, basically to cheer everybody on and try to make people happy, right? And so the things that he talked about were good things. One of them was like, hey, stay positive. Showing gratitude was a big one. And you see that in the world today. The philosophy of many is like how important it is to be thankful. And there's some truth in that, right? But the thankfulness that we have as Christians is actually based in something. If you don't have God and we don't have a hope, and there isn't really something bigger than me, then what am I really thankful for? Who's the object of my thanks? You see? God is the object of our thanks. And so, you know, I just want to encourage this thankfulness is something that issues from understanding and knowing who He is, so that we can be thankful in all things. Does that make sense? Hey, if my car breaks down, am I thankful that my car broke down? Well, no. But can I have a thankful heart in the midst of that? That God even provided me a car? That I even have a car to be broken down? You understand? That I also know He's the one that supplies all my needs? Whether I can get that thing fixed or not, I'm still good. God is still gracious and kind. You see what I'm saying? You know, the world and the tendency in the world is this narrative of unthankfulness, right? And sometimes we might say, well, I'm thankful to God, but then I'm not thankful for my spouse, or I'm not thankful for my kids because they're being difficult today, or I'm not thankful for the financial situation I'm finding myself in, right? There can be this tendency to dwell on those things that we don't have that lead us down a pathway of unthankfulness instead of beholding his glory and his grace and his goodness and being thankful in everything. You see that? And so this is a habit that we can build. It's also something we can choose. And for me, something that I find helpful is that when I find myself unthankful, even about a bad situation, which you might say you have a right to, it's a little red flag in my own heart, my own mind, that, hey, Jim, losing sight of who God is today, right? I don't get condemned by that. I just recognize, hey, I'm not thankful. I'm struggling to be thankful for my whatever today. That's a great reminder. Turn my eyes upward. See him and his glory and his grace, his supply, right? See what I'm saying? Pete said something to me earlier this week, and it really blessed me. I've been thinking about it, so I'm going to steal it. I told him I would. But unthankfulness is really small thinking. It's really small thinking about who God is. It really is. So his word, it's an amazing thing. His word speaks in so many places to be thankful, encourages us. We read it in Colossians there and quoted it in Thessalonians, but it's elsewhere, right? But we're not just going for, I got to be thankful, right? What we're going for is a heart and eyes that see and know him. And so the byproduct of that is that I am thankful. If I find myself unthankful, the goal isn't to try to be thankful, darn it. The goal is, Father, help me see you. Help me see your goodness. You see the difference? And then when I do, boy, my heart will rise in thanksgiving. That's grace. I love this example, but consider Eve in the garden, okay? I think we all know the story here, right? So mankind is given this vast, lush garden. All the trees of the garden you might freely eat. And I imagine, I don't know, this is just my imagination, so I'm going to bring you in on it. I imagine standing there at the top of a hill in the garden and looking out over the garden. And you have this beautiful sunset or sunrise, whichever you like better. And the beautiful clouds, and you see all these trees ripe with fruit. Everyone has a different flavor and a different texture and a different beauty to it. And there's more flowers than you can even imagine, right? All of this bountifulness, all this beauty, all this glory that God has given, and he's placed you in this garden and said, dress it and keep it and freely eat of it. What a joy, right? But how in that environment the devil was able to get Eve to see the one thing that she couldn't have, be unthankful for what she did have, and turn to the thing that she didn't have. Pretty amazing, right? Feels very human, though, does it not? Mm-hmm. Have we not been blessed with all spiritual blessings? Right? All spiritual blessings. That's what it says in Ephesians. Yeah. Sometimes the spiritual blessings don't feel as tangible, perhaps, as the physical blessings can, right? If that's the case, then you know what the prayer is? Father, open my eyes. Help me see what it means to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. Help my heart to desire your blessings, Father, more than the physical blessings of this earth. You see that? Gosh, because we can be open and honest before him, right? So we can enter that place of prayer so that our hearts begin to align with his. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Look at this. So beautiful. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. What beautiful truth to meditate on, right? I think of this verse a lot, especially verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And I think of that in prayer and for my own heart. And this is a little practical thing. I think in terms of I'm entering his gates. I realize we're in the presence of God at all time, right? But when I go to pray and take that time to pray, I'm entering his gates. And there's such a joy in beginning that prayer, beginning your prayer with thanksgiving. Just take a minute in thanksgiving. Start to recognize who he is, right? And like we spoke a couple weeks ago, it's often my need that might bring me to my knees. And I understand that. We got a need. There's something there. But I'll tell you, when you begin to think about and praise God for his goodness, for his strength, for his glory, for all the things that he's done in Christ for you, how he's given you a hope and given you a destiny and provided for you. Boy, I'll tell you, in comparison to my issue, the God who I'm praying to becomes much bigger and bigger and bigger. You see the practical joy of thanksgiving? Taking that time to thank him. What if my heart is struggling with that? Well, then you know what the prayer looks like? Father, I know you're good, but I'm struggling. And I'm asking you to help me to see your glory this morning so that I can praise you and be thankful to you today. That's what that looks like. And then let him work in your heart, because he will. He will. How about the Lord's Prayer, right? I love how when the disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he's teaching them. And it's just this simple, very simple pattern. A very few words, really. But it's laying for us a pattern. And his first words are, Father, who's in heaven. It's a recognition of where he's at. You're great. And then what's the next words is, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy, God. Your name is holy. You see how that entering into his gates with thanksgiving and praise and recognition of who he is? And then the prayer progresses from there. Go to Philippians 4. I'll tell you that just this, as we've been considering prayer, just building in your life the habit of recognizing his presence at all times, you know. And I know some of you like to hike. I like to hike, and so that I use that as an example. Maybe there's something else you like to do. But there can be such beauty in being quiet enough in your own thoughts and hearts that when you see something that delights your soul, you turn that thing back to praise to him. You know, sometimes if my kid does something that just delights me, I'll thank God for that. You let that turn to praise and thanksgiving to him. You know, you see something beautiful that delights you. You see something man-made that's like, wow, that is really cool. Father, thank you that you created mankind to be able to even do something like that. Even the unbelievers are pretty creative. You know, just incredible. All these things, turn it back to praise and thanksgiving. Build that habit of just being thankful, prayerfully thankful in your life. All right, Philippians chapter 4. You knew I was going to go here. Look at verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Isn't that cool? So we just tack thank you onto every prayer, right? Is that the goal? And then we're following this verse. God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. God, thank you for that. Is that what this is talking about?
No.
Is it lip service that we're paying to him? No. Right? No. Gosh, when you begin to see what biblical thankfulness is, it's really this recognition of who God is and what he promises to do. You see, you think about a contrast to this is the children of Israel. What had they seen coming out of Egypt? They had seen Egypt, the greatest power on earth, destroyed in a matter of a very short period of time. And then they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, saw the greatest army in existence at the time covered with waters, right? And the result was that they began to praise God. There's a song right there at the end. But it wasn't too much longer that they forgot about it again. And they began to grumble in the wilderness. I don't have food. I don't have water. We're just going to die here, right? That grumbling was that unthankfulness. And had God changed? Had the God who delivered them out of Egypt suddenly changed and wasn't going to deliver them anymore? Absolutely not. Circumstances changed, but God didn't change. You see that? And that's the same for our life. You know, we go through things and circumstances change, but God is the same. He's the same. He hasn't changed. So in prayer, we enter in with this heart and this posture of thanksgiving to God. Because if he literally did nothing for you more than he already has done for the rest of your life, he has already given you all things in Christ. You see that? You've already been delivered from darkness and placed into the kingdom of an everlasting king, and whose presence you'll be in forever. So you just take a deep breath and you thank God that he can work that in your heart, right? And I love this. Look at this. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know what I love about this? And I know we've talked about it before, but the answer to this prayer is not that everything that was causing me anxiety went away. The answer to this prayer is that peace, which is beyond our understanding, is guarding my heart, regardless of the circumstance. How much more powerful is that, right? How often do human beings live from circumstance to circumstance to circumstance, right? But we're called out of that rat race into a place where our hearts are full of joy and thanksgiving with vision of who our God is, where the peace of God is guarding our heart. Isn't that cool? Right? And we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who literally has been through it and is in this thing on our behalf. Incredible. Right? And it's through his name that we can approach the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. How awesome is that, right? You see how these truths in the heart of a believer, it changes everything. It changes everything. It's so exciting. Remember the scene from Revelation, right? And the beasts and the elders and the throne of God and the sounds. And I think about the next line in the Lord's Prayer where he says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, and I think here we are, his people, separated out from the world, a people called to glorify and to praise his name, people to be full of thanksgiving, right? And how brightly that shines, maybe even more brightly, on an earth that's fallen. We have this short time here And then forevermore, we're going to be in the presence of God where evil will not exist any longer. Death will no longer be a part of our story. But here, at this precious time where we experience these things that are less than the will of God, we as his people stand together, a people grateful, full of praise and thanksgiving for the God who's redeemed us to himself. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Cool. Let's finish back in Colossians, please. And again, these things, man, what we want to recognize is it's not me working hard to try to get my heart back to thankfulness. What this really looks like is Jim recognizing that Jim does not have what it takes in my flesh to do spiritual things, right? So I'm on my knees, I'm honest before my God, and I say, here I am, I need your help. And I thank you that you're working in me what I'm not able to do in myself. And by Jesus Christ my Lord, I'm able to be changed into his image from glory to glory, right? Where he puts that fleshly heart in me, removes that heart of stone. You know, I just love that. I just love that because now it's on him, the only one who can do it. It's our job just to simply come and receive that grace from him. Colossians chapter 3. Love this, and we'll read again in verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him." Okay. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we are genuinely thankful for you. And I know that everybody in this room is, and that we see your great glory, and we see that you have provided for us in your Son. God, that we can be at one with you and even be able to sit here together right now and open our mouth and know that you hear. You hear what's in our hearts and what's in our lips. And so we thank you for helping us, Father, again, just to walk with you, to be a people who are thankful and full of praise for you, our God, who's delivered us and created us. And we praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.